Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to the Cop Eye Podcast. It is the Man City reaction show, and of course it is me, Mick, and Christian with me as well. To get stuck into a 1-1 draw, I think we said on the preview show we'd happily have took a draw, and I guess the way the game went, I think we're the happier of the two teams coming out of that with that point. But before we get stuck into all the mishaps and goals and whatever else that happened, Christian, how are you doing?
Yeah, good, but I'm tired still from Saturday because I spent that day in Stockholm watching the game in a pub with friends, and I went up quite early in the morning and got on the train and started having drinks about, I can't remember, but maybe 12-ish, just after 12, and then obviously straight through and the whole night out, even though it wasn't partying in that sense, but kept on drinking, and it was a long day and long night, so I'm still a bit tired, to be honest, but I'm very happy because of the draw. To celebrate a draw isn't maybe the thing that you want to do, but in the end of the day, that kind of result at that stadium against that team, it's not a bad thing, is it? So I'm very happy.
Yeah, I think that's your age catching up with you, that lad. I think you're usually a machine, and I guess you still are a machine, but I think as you're getting older, you can't...
age? Fucking hell.
Yeah, when you're getting older, the drink catches up with you, lad, don't worry.
I think it's more the lack of sleep, to be honest, because I got up very early in the morning, and then the whole day, even though you spread out with like the drinking time, and we spend some like hours at a friend's place, not, you know, drinking too heavy, just listening to music and that, and then you just know that you come home quite late, and then you go to sleep, but you still wake up early. Like, it's just something that is automatically in you nowadays. You wake up early, and then you just feel like, oh, I haven't slept, you know, enough hours. I think that's the most problem, because I didn't feel bad or anything or ill, you know, the day after. It's just more like, fucking, I need to sleep more. But yeah, that's probably a mix with age as well, I guess. But
bit of both, I think, lad. And of course, as I go to click on my live score on my iPad, it decides to go off. But let's talk about how we know how we're feeling going into the game, because we covered that on the preview show. But in terms of the lineup, then, because especially the way we knew it was going to be at 12:30 kickoff, all the lads have been in and wherever they've been, South America and stuff. And I think McAllister says after the match that he had like the pre-match meeting like the day before. He was like half asleep because he was like, of course, like everyone's shattered because of the time differences and getting on planes and whatever. But the lineup Liverpool went with, I think, was a strong one. I think Jones coming back in, I think we talked about it, and it was like I was more leaning towards Jones, you were leaning more towards Gravenberg, I think. But yeah, we go. It's finally come back on now. Here we go. So the team we had out there was Alisson, Trent, Matip, Van Dijk, Tsimikas, like I said, Jones, McAllister in the six, and Szoboszlai, and then Jota, Nunes, and Salah. So I think we pretty much predicted that. I think, of course, that the only question marks I think were Jones or Gravenberg, Tsimikas or Gomez, and then I think it was either Jota or Diaz. I think were there only the three question marks right down that left hand side. I think those were the areas that we were looking at. But yeah, Klopp does go with Tsimikas, Jones, and Jota. And how was your feeling when you saw that lineup? Because I was pretty happy, especially when I saw like their lineup. Of course, it's very strong, but I did feel like we could cause them some issues in the wider areas with the pace and the ability that we have in them areas.
Yeah, I was happy. And, you know, Tsimikas, I know the people obviously say that he might be the weakest link in this team. But I think he has been doing quite good lately. And obviously, against City, he was really, really good. So, you know, we should praise him a bit there because I think he had a great game. Curtis Jones, when he, you know, came up in the starting 11, I know that we talked about that you wanted him. We talked about his way of, you know, putting pressure on the ball and actually good with carrying the ball and energy and stuff. I think he didn't have his best game, but he didn't have his worst game. So, you know, it was not one of them where I felt like he was, oh, he's a weak link here in this game. We need to substitute him. I understand why we did, but I think he did an okay job. But, you know, it's hard to come back a little bit rusty as well, maybe, because he has been out injured, hasn't played, and we talked about him being a rhythm player and all that. So in terms of the whole starting 11, even with Diogo Jota playing to the left, I think we talked about that in the show as well before, that, you know, it could be either way with him or Luis Diaz. And I'm quite happy we went with Jota first. And obviously he didn't have a perfect game either. But, you know, when you looked at the starting 11 ahead of the game, I was like, yeah, this can, you know, this team can go and get a result. And I think the only thing was that we saw Joel Matip actually start, because we were talking about Konate, is he fit enough, you know, because
yeah, he did,
and you know the physicality he has and brings into the team. But I think Joel Matip was brilliant. So
yeah,
when you look at it at the start, it's always, you know, sometimes you feel like, oh, maybe we should have Konate in there, or maybe we should have gone with Joe Gomez to be, but you know, that's your feelings going into it. But then how the games actually turned out to be, I was quite happy with many performances. And then obviously with the changes and substitutes that we did, we got a bit of edge on it anyway, because we got quality. So, you know, when we come up against cities or Arsenals or whatever, I think, you know, we as good as any team, or, you know, I think that was a great starting 11. Do you think, you know, when you look at maybe a player like McAllister starting in that number six, when you think about the way what he said in that interview, you know, having trouble to actually stay awake ahead of meetings, I feel that he's actually should play, because I think he had a great game as well. So yeah.
He did. I think it was one of them, like, they had enough time to get back and stuff, but it's the early starts, like, just no one. Of course, we've only got a problem with them because it seems to keep happening to us. And like, I'll do the stat shows with Mike from Opta. And like, he was talking about like the amount of times it's always Liverpool. I think that if it was more spread out, we wouldn't be bothered about that. Like, it's bound to happen at some point when you really kick off. But it's obviously going to affect you if you haven't got those extra 2, 3, even 5, 6 hours. If you're the late game, you've got that a load of time to like have a bit more recovery, maybe have a bit more food, a bit more of sleep, etc., and let your body energize a little bit more. But yeah, like you said, like, I forgot about the whole Matip chat we were having, because I think we were both. I was convinced anyway that Konate would start, only because I think it was obvious that Doku was going to start because Trent was over that side, and I thought Konate would be better with the pace and power. But yeah, Matip again comes in and again showing that he's, I think we were all kind of expecting his time to kind of dwindle out and Konate just to be the main fella, but he's proven that he's not going without a fight, and his contract's up next summer. That brings up another question, whether you give him a new deal and stuff. But I
Yeah, sorry, I just want to go. Yeah, you just got to go in and say that if he continues to play like this, I know he's getting old and I know that he's been injury prone, you know, in the past and he had his problems and stuff, but he's continued to be this kind of player who can play games like this and come in and do a job. But also, obviously, with Konate hopefully getting even better, and he and Marty will be, you know, forced to be more of a bench player and, you know, play in other types of games. But if he's happy to stay, there's not many other, you know, options, and he's only like 32. In if he can stay, I wouldn't say fit, because we know that he can't stay fit. But if he can stay, you know, and he doesn't play all the games, he has more time to, you know, what do you call it? Losing words, but yeah.
Recover?
Yeah, recover. Thank you. Then I think there's not many other, you know, great options in that kind of sense of a centre-back in that way, because they are not, you know, on this level. You can just pick and choose, and you already have him. He knows everything, so I'm very pleased if they want to, you know, extend his contract for another season or two after this. I just wanted to, you know, say that.
No, I agree. I think it is a good, like, I mean, maybe we could do a show on that, just like a mini 15 minutes or something where we talk about that and gives Konate more time to, I guess, grow into his body a little bit more, same for Quonset and stuff, and try and eradicate these injuries from Kanate's record and give Quonset a bit more time to adapt to the being a first teamer, because he's still very new for him, isn't it? But what I enjoyed was like how good our bench was in comparison to theirs. Like, they had I think the only player potentially they could have had was Grealish, but he was out because he was unwell. But like, in terms of attacking subs, I think it says a lot that they didn't make any subs and we made all five. Of course, we had like Gomez, Endo, Konate, Diaz, Gakpo, Elliot, Gravenberch, Kelleher and Kwanzaa. So there was plenty of quality in there that we can call upon, and especially in the later stages of the game where you need a bit of freshness and whatever. And that proved to be the point with the goal and in the interplay with between the subs that came on, which we'll get on to. But let's go to, unfortunately, the Haaland goal. And I think, like we've discussed over text and whatever, and about like Alisson's performance, and of course he gets that injury as well at the end of the game, just to kind of cap it off. And hopefully that's not too much of a long one. If it's hopefully just a week or two, Jota's, I imagine, is probably longer. But like, Alisson is, I felt we started the game quite well. I felt like we were knocking it around nicely. We didn't seem too panicked, but there's just a few occasions where Ali's keeping it for a bit too long. I always think this is one of the criticisms of him. He's amazing at everything, but sometimes his kicking is usually much better than it is, no doubt. But it's sometimes he's a bit too slow on it. And sometimes he takes that half a second too long, where, especially when you've got Haaland and Doku running at you at full speed, you haven't got those milliseconds are absolutely key to just getting the ball safe. Like, even if you give it back to them, like, just get it safe. But I think we were seeing signs of that a little bit, I guess, like those few lax passes and whatever. And then, of course, it doesn't come directly from that, but like, Alisson claims a cross or whatever, and then he sees Salah in the distance, and you're like, oh, come on, there's one of them moments where he plays a through one and gets an assist for Salah, but he makes a fuck up of the kick, and it goes to them, and yeah, Ake does well, he plays it into Haaland, and Haaland has already had a little quick shifty over his shoulder, so Van Dijk was on his, basically run, going to be right on his ass straight away. And then, yeah, he takes one touch and buries it. And again, you could probably say, I think it's harsh because we've got such high expectations of Alisson Becker because he is the best in the world at everything. He is just incredible. I think he'd be disappointed in himself for both the kick and both the save, to be honest. And I know that's easy to say because he made some other key saves, which we'll talk about. The one where literally precedes the goal, we go down the other end and score. And the Foden one, which I think is kind of not been highlighted enough on social media and whatever. Like, that was just an incredible save. When you see the shot from the back camera, or like straight on, you realise how far in the corner that's going, and he does so well to do it. But yeah, a bit disappointing, especially like 27th minute. I felt like Liverpool were doing well, like feeling the way into the game a little bit, but maybe showing them a little bit too much respect. I think Trent referenced that after the game, like, we were standing off them a little bit too much, and I think that's where the goal comes from in that first half an hour, where we were maybe doing that a little bit too much.
Yeah, and you know, the goal from Alisson, when they miss kick it, and you know, it's just the whole team is on its way up, because they think obviously he's going to pinpoint that ball to Salah and they are moving up, and that doesn't happen. It makes them turn to defend and not being organised, and that's where the goals come from, not being organised. I think, you know, they find the spaces, and obviously Ake get the chance to go through as a, I don't know, some worldy of dribbles. but, you know, it's just hard to defend when someone comes to you at that kind of, I wouldn't say speed, but in that situation where you're on your way mentally also, that you're going to go forward because Salah's going to kick it towards Salah and, you know, hopefully have a counter. We need to get up a bit as well to be able to put pressure on them if they get the ball, but we're still, you know, in the right positions and all that kind of stuff. So it comes from that, and obviously it's a harsh goal for us and for Alisson as well. And then he obviously gives it away to Foden at one point as well, where you just think what you're doing. It's just one of them games where you can't have this, you know, to happen and all that. Yeah. But then, like you said...
That chance as well, that, like, the one, imagine he's... Because I forgot about that one, actually, where he plays it to him and that he could easily score off that. And that's, like,
yeah,
that just started the process, didn't it, a little bit?
Yeah, and it kind of, you know, it lingers for you a bit as well. You're thinking, like, if he's have a moment like that and continues, you get that feeling of nerves getting into the team because you just know that, oh, Alisson is not having his best day, you know, miss kicking and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, to defend him, he still, you know, does a couple of great saves. The ones that you referenced with Phil Foden as well, it's a great save. And obviously the save that goes, that is just before we actually go up and score. So he's still having a big influence on the game and he's still, you know, the best in the world. But, you know, sometimes that happens. You don't have your best game, but it's still that good and do enough to actually, you know, save some balls that could have been easily scored from by them if it was another goalkeeper, to be honest, because it is saves that are world class. You should, you know, the ones with Foden, he needs to get down there and actually reach out and get his arms, you know, stretched and then just push it outside from the going in just next to the post. So it's a great one. But yeah, Haaland, you know, when he comes in that kind of space and score that goal, I felt it was unnecessary, but at the same time, I felt that before that goal, we still been in the game, like you mentioned as well. It was not like they obviously started quick because they are at home and they were on us, but I didn't feel nervous in terms of they're going to score soon. Obviously, it was the Alisson moments, but I felt that we were in it. So when they scored, I obviously felt, if we can hang on and not concede again, we got a chance, but we need to make sure to step up a bit. And I still felt that we could come away if we just do it right from now.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah, I think I was the same. Like, it's like when, like, nearly on half an hour, they've got the goal. You're like, right, the key now is get to half time. That was kind of what I was thinking straight away. I was like, let's get to half time. If we can get a goal in that time, of course, that's even better. But as long as we don't concede another, I think that was the key in that moment. Just like, let's just try and slow it down. Let's try and get some passes together, because we were doing it. Like, when we did it well, it looked really good, and we were making chances from it. Of course, Nunes has a few chances where he's, I guess it's quite similar to the Haaland one, where he's in the box and he takes a couple of touches and maybe he should just take one, two, bang, or one touch and hit it. And I think he took too many touches and then they cleared it away. There's the one where it clipped in, he has a good header, and then for some weird reason, Jota jumps up for a header and bumps into Walker, and Walker gets a free kick, which, again, is when you're looking at, like, one of their ruled out goals, like for the Akanji on Alisson, like, and that's getting brought up everywhere. And it's like, well, there was softer tackles in that game which were fouls, so, like, and goalies are always protected. So yeah, that's the whole thing's just funny when people start chatting about different decisions when there's clear other decisions that were softer that were getting given. So but yeah, look, just in terms of, like, first half stats, then, like, we only had one shot on target, one off target, two blocked shots, 37% possession. So it was on them. We knew we were going to have less possession, but as long as we remained in the game, I was quite happy with how that half went. Of course, like, those chances, like I mentioned, Nunes and whatever. And I wanted Nunes to shoot a bit more around the box. There was a couple of chances. I think McAllister's on the edge. Just a few chances where you're like, just have a go. Like, Ederson is incredible and is the best in the world with the ball at his feet. There's no question about that. But I don't think he's the best goalie in terms of doing what a goalie's meant to do, stop goals. I don't think he's the best at that. So I think we need to be making the most of that, really, and having a few more shots. But I think getting to half time was, yeah, I think it was like, right, it doesn't matter, 1-0 down, but it wasn't like, as long as it wasn't 2-0 or 3-0, because then at least just stay in the game. I think that's what we kept saying, just stay in the game as long as you can. If it was 0-0, even better. If you get it, obviously, if you're winning, even better. But even if it's 1-0, just keep the score down low, and we're always capable of doing something. And that's kind of, yeah, how that first half went. And I think that's, like I said before, with Trent's interview, we showed them too much respect in that first half. And the second half, we tried to just kind of pick out those positions. And I think Trent was doing a little bit more, coming inside a little bit more, and was trying to pick those passes off as well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in going in half time, 1-0 down, like you said, if we stay in the game, make sure that we don't give them too much space, and we, you know, cause them a bit of problems as well on the counter. We're still in it in terms of, you know, getting away with the point. Like, if it's, like you said, if it's 2-0, 3-0, it's kind of dead. It's going to be almost impossible to, you know, turn that around and get a point or even go and win it. So I think that the feeling of actually being only 1-0 down away at City is... And as long as you actually feel that we're in this game, like we did, I get a feeling that they knew that as well. If we can go out and give them a second half where, you know, we've been real hard on them and try to just play our game and try as much as we can, there can be a moment where we can actually score here. And if we do that, then we can see the game out, as we did, obviously. But it's just that feeling is that it's like, I wouldn't say a win, but it's something to grab and take with us. And I think that feeling is in the dressing room as well, and what Klopp thinks as well. Like, we still got a chance here. If we can actually go and score, we could with that goal turn it around if we get it early and actually go and win it, because that's self-confidence, that's a little bit of rhythm and all that kind of momentum and all that. But also, as long as you're just 1-0 down and they don't create too many chances, you can always come up with a situation, even if that's early in the second half, or if it's late in the second half, as it turned out to be, and you get that moment and that goal that will take out of, like, the air out of them a bit and make sure that we actually get there. It's beneficial for us. So I think that feeling was the same feeling that I had before the second half, like, I was sitting at the pub and just waiting, having a chat with friends. I was just like, we still got a good chance. I'm not, you know, feeling that we're losing this game, or it's drifting away from us. I'm actually feeling we're in it. And if we can create that moment, even if that's a corner, a free kick, or actually great play, as it turned out to be. So that was the belief. And I think, you know, the whole team had that. And that's what I think probably helped us to see it through and do it as well, and actually go and get a point.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like, we might as well, of course, there's other chances that they have. They have a few decent chances. And, of course, there's the, like I mentioned before, the ruled out one. And there's another ruled out one where, there's a couple where both rightly given in our favour, I'd say. And I think if it was down the other end, we might be saying something different. But I feel like they were both in the correct decisions. For what constitutes a foul these days. Of course, like I said, the goalies have always been protected, and they always will be. So that's something that everyone just needs to get on board with. It's annoying. I think, like, I was thinking of, like, the one against, like, was it West Ham? I don't know if it was last year or the year before, where, like, Ogbonna is literally on Alisson's shoulders and the goal doesn't get disallowed. And I always think about that one, and it always does me head in, like, when, if goalies get away with, or if, like, opposing defenders or attackers get away with stuff on goalies, because that one always sticks out to me. So I'm glad we actually got this one for a change. But yeah, like I mentioned, like, the subs and stuff, I feel like it, of course, went in our favour, because on the 54th minute we bring on Luis Diaz and we bring on Gravenberch. And I think just in the group chat anyway, that was the obvious choices. I thought, like, Jones, like you said before, didn't have his best game by any means. He was, to be honest, he was quite poor, like, in terms of, he was trying to do the right things, but again, he was just, sometimes he'd take too many touches on the ball, or he wasn't as effective as he should be, I think, in that type of game. So he was rightly brought off for Gravenberch, and it kind of, yeah, the chance that happens for Trent's goal is, yeah, a decent chance for them. Ali makes stopping shots, like he is, like most keepers in the world that just can't get near. And yeah, we kind of break from there. And Gravenberch, I loved, and I want to highlight the movement and the play from Gravenberch and the build up to that, because I just thought it was so nice how, like, he just saw Rodri and was like, yeah, all right then, mate, do you want to try and get the ball off me? Try your best. And just took a few touches, glided past him like he weren't there. I was waiting for the Rodri foul, to be honest. But I think he went past him that nicely. And it didn't come, and then he plays the ball out to Luis Diaz. Luis Diaz stands up Walker, and then he plays a little ball in Salah. Lovely little dummy run by Gakpo to free the space up for Trent, and then Trent just takes a touch and just absolutely hammers it bottom corner. And I loved the whole goal. And I think, I think Klopp mentioned before the game about, like, when we score goals, it tends to be when we've had the ball for quite a while. Like, obviously it wasn't load the time we had the ball, but there's quite a few passes in there and periods of play where we've gone past players and stuff. But I loved that goal, and I loved the celebration as well. And I think because of the timing of the goal as well, like 10 minutes to go, I felt like it's on a bit of a knife point now, because we can go and win this. And I think you could see from Guardiola, I think every corner, every free kick we had around the box, he was crouched down with his hands on his head, basically going, oh, fucking hell, they're going to score. Basically that, he was very worried. But yeah, the goal was boss winner.
Yeah, and it is a great goal. And I love the way, I think you tweet something as well about Gravenberch just floating past Rodri or something like that. And it looked like that, but obviously it's good because we can bring on that quality later in the games with fresh legs. And Rodri obviously been playing the whole game, and they didn't make any substitutes like you mentioned because they didn't have the same kind of quality maybe. I think maybe putting in someone with fresh legs, even though, you know, it doesn't matter who it is really, obviously needs to be quality, but they have quality through the whole squad as well. You just still have obviously some injuries now, but, you know, they have a few that could come in and do the job and, you know, have the energy to actually go and, you know, make sure that they, you know, don't concede or whatever. But I think that save, the way we play out, and Gravenberch just actually, you know, moves the ball very easily. And that's what I like with him. And we talked about it before, that he's like a silky player with, he's got the movements. He's quite quick for being a tall, big guy. He's got technique. He's good with the ball. So he's got very, very many attributes that I just love as a football, you know, for a football player. I think, you know, he got them all. He's just kind of now to see where he can become better using them and becoming even more, you know, into this team, because he's still very new. But I think we already see now what qualities he brings in a midfielder, and I love that. And like you said as well, the ball gets played over to Salah, and it's a great run by Gakpo, because obviously that makes the defenders go with him, because they need to, otherwise they will just play through him and he will be free with the goalie one-on-one. So, you know, and then obviously to find that little ball into Trent's running path or whatever you call it, and for him to, because it is a tricky one, because he gets the ball and he needs to take a little bit of a touch to, you know, place it up for himself in front of him, and then obviously the finish is brilliant, because it's got that, you know, strength and power behind it, and it goes down the corners. There's nothing to do, but just the whole sequence of play, the way that everything just goes perfectly, and the great goal, it's just one of them moments where you just be like, that's amazing. And then, like you said, that's where you get the momentum, and we have brought on Luis Diaz as well, and Gravenberch, you know, we got the legs and energy there to actually go and win it. We do create a few chances, obviously they have a few as well, but, you know, when you think about it, it's when we score that late in the game, we just want to make sure that we see it out, because you don't want to do anything. Obviously, you want to try and go win it, but you don't want to be too stupid and actually lose the game when you came back in it that late. So I'm very pleased that the way we saw it out and how it ended. And obviously, that goal was the perfect end of it, if you like.
Yeah, and again, like the Diaz and Gravenberch being involved, but like we've referenced Gakpo having that little bit of dummy player, whatever. They all came off the bench. Like, I think that's massive to have. You can bring on Diaz, Gravenberch and Gakpo in the space of like 20 minutes to try and impact the game is massive. And I think that's why Liverpool hopefully can sustain this period near the top of the table, because we've got like that strength and depth, which is, it's boss to see. And I think like after the goal, 5 minutes after that, Klopp brings on Endo and Elliot for McAllister and Nunes. And I was a little bit surprised by that. And I don't know if that's like, I don't think Klopp's got it in his, a bone in his body that says I'm playing for a draw, but that was when I saw that, I was like, yeah, I guess like Endo can come on and make those silly fouls, because he's only going to be on the field for 10 minutes, so he can get a yellow card if he needs to and make a tackle. And he did do one of them dirty tackles that I love when he does, like just bring someone down. He did one of them, which I really enjoyed. And then you've got Elliot coming on, and you can push Salah up top. You can have that work rate from Elliot on the right hand side. So I think that was, again, like having the 5 subs and having the ability to bring on people like that with fresh legs and ability to just to kind of break up play and harry people, harass people. I think that kind of went in our favour. And again, like I said at the start of the show, like I feel like I was surprised Guardiola were more despondent in his like post-match interview. I thought he'd be like, oh, we should have won, etc. But he seemed quite happy with the draw, I thought, like from what he was saying. I think he was probably like I mentioned, some of the chances we had, the corners and whatever, he was probably quite worried about them. But yeah, I think a good point, like I don't know if we mentioned it at the start of the show, but we mentioned it like before we started recording about, like, we've been there in the past at their place with more complete teams than the one we've got now. I get more like cohesive teams than we've got now because they've been together for a long time and not seen a point. Do you know what I mean? So this is like I thought it was a massive statement from us. So of course, if we would have won it, it would have been huge, but to get a point and then with the run of fixtures we've got coming up, I think it just sets us into like a perfect kind of platform to where we can now go on and build on from this performance as well.
Yeah, and I think you have to correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's also ended their run of one games at home. I think, you know, with the draw that I think they were up for a record or something, because I think I've heard something about Sunderland having it from the fucking 1800s something before. Yeah, I can't remember. But, you know, that's also one thing that, you know, you go there and make sure that they don't win at home, because they are obviously having that quality that playing at home will be difficult for any team coming there, and usually they will go and win it maybe with 2-3, 4-0, depending on obviously the opposition. But then we come there, and you, like you mentioned as well, it's not like a complete team. We still got a very new midfield. We can't underestimate how quick they actually come together and play well. But, you know, they will only get better with time, getting to, you know each other even more. And we got the quality with Gravenberch, who came on from the bench. Now we talked about Elliot as well. We've got many players in there who can also do a job. And we mentioned that so many times before. And that can't be underestimated. But it's also very nice to see, you know, how it works quickly and that we are up in the top of the league at this moment, and then we go to Man City away and get a draw 1-1, and, you know, it's one of them teams that actually put up a great fight against them, because, you know, when they play, without being disrespectful, when they play in Fulham, some, you know, or them kind of teams, even though we've seen them taking points from them as well, obviously, but it's just, you know, everyone knows what I mean. If they go there, you know, we kind of expect a 2-3-0 lead in half time anyway for Man City, and they can just see it out. So it's just one of them where you think, like, yeah, we got there with 1-1, ended their run of, you know, one games at home, and, you know, we just like 1 point behind them or something like that, and still in the top, still in, you know, consideration of going, you know, fighting for the title and all that. So I'm just very happy, because one of them games with the, you know, which you dread the whole season, you're going to go there, you think, like, we need a result here for it to be something in the end of the season anyway, because they're going to be that good. So yeah, very pleased, and just very much looking forward now to playing home again next weekend.
Yeah, I think just to wrap up on the table, like, Arsenal won last minute Havertz goal, so they're currently top on 30 points. Man City on 29, we're on 28. Aston Villa on 28 as well, just behind us on goal difference, which again, incredible job that he went and beat Spurs. Man United, I still can't believe they're in sixth on 24 points, only 4 points off us. I just feel like the run of games they've got coming up, though, is carnage. They're going to get absolutely battered. So I can't wait for that, because they've had quite a favourable fixture, and I think, in terms of playing Everton, of course, like, and whatever. But yeah, Liverpool have got a decent point away at their place. And like you mentioned, like, the fixtures coming up. Of course, we've got LASK on Thursday at home. And we've got Fulham at home on the 3rd of December. We've go to Sheffield United away on the 6th. And then we've got Palace away on the 9th. So again, going away, of course, is never easy, but when you're coming up against Sheffield United and Palace and whatever, like, this Liverpool side, who were, again, the City draw wasn't just like a good point, it was a test of our credentials, and it was a test of our character, and all those Brendan Rodgers words, like, great personality and all that, like, all those key things that go into making a good player and whatever. It was a test of them, and I think we passed the test. Of course, if we would have won it, would have been even better. But to get the draw, I thought was a massive, going to be a massive confidence boost for us, I thought. But yeah, we'll leave it there. A nice one, everyone, for listening. As always, really appreciate you taking the time to listen. We really do appreciate it. Thanks to Christian for jumping on once again. And yeah, we'll see you all very soon. Nice one.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
Social Podcast Network.